The Republican Party is in a fight for its soul. One scholar argues that history might give us some guidance as to who will win and how we got here. Heather Cox Richardson is a professor of history at Boston College. Her 2014 book is To Make Men Free, A History of the Republican Party. She joins us in the studio. And Professor, the thing that's brought on this round of soul searching is, of course, that tape of Donald Trump bragging about groping women. Some leaders are backing away from him. Some have returned to the Trump fold. But your thoughts on what it all means?
Well, that tape represents a certain moment in the GOP that's been a long time coming. And what that does is it knocks a hole in the narrative that has managed to control the Republican Party since about the 1990s, but has been building since actually way back to the 1930s. And that was predicated on an image of a traditional family, of a breadwinning man who could protect his wife and his children against the grasping immigrants, African Americans, and women who wanted government handouts. Well, that kind of language worked until Donald Trump came out as a sexual predator.
That shattered something.
It shattered the beliefs among the people who've supported the Republican Party that their leaders had their best interests in mind. People who were voting Republican and who were voting to put people like the current Republican leaders in power are good people who believe that they were doing what was good for America and defending a traditional America. And what that moment did is it revealed that, in fact, what the leaders were doing was very different than what the rank and file were doing. And this is the moment when the rank and file takes their party back, but takes it back not necessarily in the thuggish way that the white nationalists would take it, but rather takes it back to an old-fashioned traditional republicanism, which is what they believed in all along.
Remind us, traditional republicanism.
Well, you know, traditional republicanism grew up in the 1850s as opposed to the Democrats, who always saw the world kind of as an us versus them proposition, that the world was limited, the economy was limited, and there was always a group of people who needed to stand against the elites to make sure that people at the bottom got enough, and that was the Democrats. The Republicans rose in the 1850s with a very different vision, and that was a vision that the world was a social web, if you will, that if people at the bottom did well, got educations, worked hard, they'd produce more than they could consume. And they would support a middle class, which would in turn support an upper class. And as the upper class did well, they would hire more people at the bottom.
Well, and we're reminded that Republicans, actually the very early Republicans, created the first national tax and then later were the anti-slavery activists.
And they created the Homestead Act, which put people on land. They created our first national college system. They were the ones who created our first national banking system and rested it on the people rather than the moneyed interests. They really did expand the government to try and create equality of opportunity. And they've done that a number of times throughout American history. Now, what happened is that in the 1930s, when FDR and the Democrats, I know that's a big leap there, but when they went ahead and used the federal government to do precisely that, a group of extremists said, no, we should not have the government involved in any way in regulating the economy, and they should not be involved in any kind of social welfare because government regulation will infringe on liberty, and taxes will redistribute wealth from hardworking Americans, generally white American men, and redistribute it through infrastructure, through schools, through hospitals, into minority populations, largely black people. And we must stop those things. And they called themselves movement conservatives. They are not traditional Republicans. They are movement conservatives.
Well, and you tell us these movement conservatives took over the party over decades, culminating in the 1990s under Newt Gingrich, when they purged the party of traditional Republicans, the people they called Republicans in name only, rhinos.
In fact, it was a misnomer. It should have been the other way around. But when they took over the Republican Party and got rid of the traditional Rockefeller Republicans, if you will, Lincoln Republicans, when they read them out of the party, what they did is they wedded the party's machinery to this quite extremist idea that most Americans don't really believe. The moment we're in now, that movement conservative ideology has led to the Ted Cruz's and the Paul Ryan's, yes. But what it's done is it's created a demographic that feeds the white nationalists, the hatred that most Americans don't really embrace.
Have they ever given rise to someone who really wasn't one of them?
No, and that's a very interesting distinction because Donald Trump is not a politician. He's a salesman. He's throwing stuff and seeing what works. And what he has discovered is that the movement conservatives have created a very specific demographic that will respond. They were playing with fire, and it is now burning them.
Are you saying that the Republican Party in the last, half a century or more has created Donald Trump?
Yes, I am. And this is the moment when they say, wait, this is not our Republican Party. And this, I think, I'm one of the few optimistic people out there, is the moment that the Republican Party becomes the real Republican Party again.
Well, you write that the irony is that Donald Trump might be the unifier of the and the corrective element in the Republican Party. And you say, because people have been asking, is there any other time like this in history? And you say, actually, there is, 1884.
1884 is a great example. The Republican Party nominated a corrupt fellow, but he really was a politician. This is different in that that Donald Trump is really not himself a movement conservative. He is taking on and destroying the movement conservatives. But in 1884, what happened is the Republican Party nominated a corrupt senator that lots of people couldn't get behind, and Republicans jumped ship and voted that case for the Democrat, for Grover Cleveland. But the Republicans who supported him convinced the ones who stayed behind to take the party back over and to rebuild it. And they were people like Teddy Roosevelt, Bob La Follette, who went ahead and created the Progressive Republican Party, which gave us Teddy Roosevelt in the Progressive Era. And I think we're looking at a very similar moment.
Huh. Well, but could you also argue that what will happen is that the Paul Ryans and the John McCains, the conservatives, wrestle the party back from Donald Trump and keep the conservative mantra from the last 40 years.
That is certainly the common wisdom right now. I think history suggests otherwise, that when you get a moment like this, you get the time when you've got the rank-and-file voters not agreeing with what the leadership of the party is doing, and there is now a demographic built that is willing to change the party and take it back. And not just on the Republican side, but also the Democratic Party is changing as well. It looks to me like, in fact, what we will see over the next, not even that long a time, next few years, the Republican Party rebuilding itself.
Well, but who gets it? Donald Trump has long been hinting that the elections are rigged. On Tuesday, his running mate Mike Pence was speaking with an unnamed supporter, scared of voter fraud, something Donald Trump speaks of a lot, even if there's little proof of any voter fraud. And then she said this about Hillary Clinton being elected.
I will tell you, from me personally, if Hillary Clinton gets in, I'm ready for a revolution, because we can't have her in.
Yeah, you don't say
but that. I'm just saying it.
Professor Richardson, Heather Cox Richardson, we see there in that video, Mike Pence looks petrified. He says, you know, don't say that, don't say that. What is going to happen if Donald Trump wins and you have half of the party furious, or if he loses and you have the other half furious?
Well, historians are prophets of the past, not of the future. But we, again, have been in this very moment before. And it was, again, in the 1880s and the early 1890s, when a group of Republicans committed to an ideology that looks much like movement conservatism said the same thing. If we don't win, the system is rigged. And the system is rigged by immigrants, by African Americans, by people who are un-American and who should be purged from society. And from that, we got very dramatic riots and lynchings where regular people stormed courthouses, stormed governments, took over governments until in 1898 in Wilmington, North Carolina. Of course, we get the very famous Wilmington riot, when a legitimate government was thrown out of office and replaced by a group of people who simply said, we don't care that it was legitimately elected. Those people who legitimately elected it should not be American voters.
Well, one would like to think that that's not where we're headed now. I mean, do you think there's another option of the Trump followers breaking away, forming another party?
Yes, I think the Trump voters will do exactly that. They'll break away. But what he will have left behind in this last storm that he is creating around him is the destruction of the movement conservatives in the Republican Party. He is taking on Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and saying, you're coming down with me. And that destruction internally is pretty unprecedented for the leader of a party to go after his own party, unless you want to go back to Andrew Johnson after the Civil War, who took on his own party and did his best to destroy it. They ended up destroying him rather than the other way around. But this is not something we've really seen before in American history.
Heather Cox Richardson, professor of history at Boston College. Again, her 2014 book, To Make Men Free, A History of the Republican Party. Heather, professor, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me here.